Blog Talk
Radio. Dr. Dre, it's time to crank it up, bro.
Uh-oh, you ready?
Oh.
It's all right.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know how we roll, Who Dat Nation. Stand up and get crunk, baby.
Okay. Ah!
What my Who Dat
not
say?
Not just the Who Dat.
Hey, I'm trying to get crunk.
Here we go.
Y'all know we dance to this. Yin Yang Queen.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Front rock.
Talking sports.
Here we go.
Around the globe. We got college hoops, women and men, NBA, NFL. Or whatever you all want to talk about tonight, America.
You got to love that, man. You know, that's not just for the Who Dat Nation. Let's give it up for the whole nation. What? That's what it is. I got to give you the hard time.
He's a hater, America.
You know what? I'm not a hater. I'm just trying to make sure that there's love for all sides, you know, but that's what it's all about. Of course, we got to welcome you to Talking Sports to the 12th Man. We're on a normal night once again Tuesday. We appreciate you kind of flowing with us, and we have some Wednesday night shows, but we enjoy it as always. But today, of course, is Tuesday, April 9th, and you are tuned into Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow Who Dat Nation cat, Mr. Robert Ford, and as always, I got to check in, Rob. How are you doing on this fine evening?
Man, I tell you what, can't complain. I'm ready to talk some sports. We don't have as many topics as we normally may have, but we still have a lot to talk about, so ready to get rolling into it. How was your day?
Hey, man, it was a good day, man. Like you said, man, you always look forward to it. You know, we start kind of late. We have a lot of things going on, but something about whenever – the time rolls around, Rob, I always get, like, kind of focused in, and I'm ready to talk sports, as you mentioned, too. So, you know, that's what it's all about. Let's get started. For those that want to call into the show, as always, let me throw out some numbers for you. The number to call in, give us your thoughts, it is 424-243-9519. We also are active on Facebook and Twitter. The Twitter handle, it is at 12 Man Sports. That's 12 THMAN Sports, and you can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12ManSports, and that's for our Talking Sports, for the 12th Man Sports page. So we are ready to roll. We got a lot of topics to discuss, as Rob mentioned, and let's kind of talk about it. You know, we kind of keep our ear to the street about what's going on in the sports world, Rob. So obviously tonight, and the women's championship game for NCAA has been on, and you had UConn versus Louisville. Louisville was trying to be like their male counterparts and pull off something that's only been done by Connecticut, but Connecticut ends up just kind of blowing the doors on Louisville, and I don't even kind of recap this championship game, which is actually in Louisiana, Rob. So I'll turn over to you and tell us a little bit about what we thought about the game and any thoughts you wanted to share about that, sir.
Well, Gino Auriemma, you got to give the guy a lot of credit. He's dominating college basketball, or women's college basketball right now. UConn is definitely the premier program. Have quite a few freshmen sensation on that team. They're going to be around for a long time. And they are the most dominating women's program. You know, Baylor got upset early in the tournament. There were a lot of teams. They were the favorite, who a lot of people thought would eventually win this tournament. But you got to give UConn a lot of credit. Of course, Notre Dame was another favorite in this year's tournament, and UConn just blasted through them in a national semifinal round as well. So congratulations to the UConn Lady Huskies for winning yet another national championship. And I done lost count how many Gino Auriemma has. He probably has about four or five or so, maybe even more than that, maybe seven or eight. But an incredible job by the Lady Huskies. And once again, they are the most premier women's college basketball team in America.
Yes, sir. And as you mentioned, it is pretty interesting because, you know, obviously, Louisville was playing pretty well. They did a lot of upsets. They upset Baylor, who was pretty heavily favored as well. And, you know, like you said, you still got to give a lot of credit to Gene. Oriyama, as you mentioned, yeah, he's been kind of dominating with his school in UConn. So, yeah, like you said, they just kind of had their way with Louisville. And, you know, like you said, we got to keep our ear to the street for both sides. And it's pretty exciting, too. So without further ado, Rob, let's kind of jump into the men's side. And I got to say, Rob, this is probably one of the better championship games I've seen in a long time, which is pretty exciting. Obviously, Louisville, Michigan, here in the great state of Atlanta, or the great state of Georgia, because we were in Atlanta, Georgia, obviously. And you talked about just a pretty, you know, just a great game. I was kind of intrigued throughout the whole thing. And I don't know if you want to share your thoughts about it. Looked like Michigan kind of had a very hot start. But Louisville was kind of able to kind of like weather the storm. In the second half, they kind of put everything back together and was able to kind of pull away from a very, very surprising Michigan team, Rob.
Well, yeah, I thought that was definitely, I think that was very well said on your part. That was definitely one of the most exciting college basketball games that I've seen in a long time. And it was a great national championship. Give the city of Atlanta a lot of credit, being a great host to the Final Four. And but Michigan, of course, came up short in the end. And that's kind of Louisville's MO a lot. They get behind a little early, but they have so much depth. They're in great shape. I mean, Rick Pitino's worked those guys very well. They have so much depth. You know, a lot of people wonder where they're going to be able to recover with the kid getting injured. And I still thought they would win a national championship just because I knew they had so much depth on their roster and so much talent on their roster. Peyton Silva played an incredible game last night. And Louisville just had a lot more depth, whereas Michigan has a great starting five, and they had the kid come off the bench scoring. And I think in the end you saw that Louisville was the better team from top to bottom. And I think Rick Pitino coaching actually won this game too. I think he out-coached John Beilein from Michigan as well. But there was a lot of star power on the floor. I think it was a great national championship game, great atmosphere. And you give Louisville a lot of credit. Congrats to him. And also Rick Pitino. I got to tip my hat to him as well. The phenomenal coaching job. But also flying down to New Orleans to witness the women's game tonight to support Louisville's women's program. I thought that was pretty classy as well. So definitely, even though the Louisville women's team lost, but I thought that was classy on his part as well. So I definitely tip my hat to Rick Pitino and the Louisville men's basketball program. Russ Smith, Louisville is one of the star players, just announced that he's going to be going pro as well. But, you know, Louisville is still going to be in the running. They're going to be in the new American Atlantic Conference next year. Then the following year they'll be moving on to the ACC. So this team is going to be around competing as long as Rick Pitino is the head coach there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's nothing that helps with the crew, Rob, as far as your team winning a national championship, man. So it just keeps it going. Peyton Silva is the only senior on that squad. So, you know, he's going to be – I think he's going to be definitely tough to replace. But, you know, you're going to reload. And as you mentioned, we'll talk about a lot of these draft classes or they're coming in for a lot of these teams and who's going to be leaving for the pros too. I got to tell you, Rob, I always see Michigan. I don't know what it is. You talked about, you know, Rick Pitino out coaching, you know, the counterpart, Belima, for Michigan. And I don't know why it seems like Michigan always seems to have these moments, Rob. And, you know, you go back to the last time, you know, whenever Chris Webber had his little infamous timeout thing, you know, there's certain things seem to happen for Michigan. I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying there's certain things that they always seem to make it more challenging for themselves, it seems like, Rob, you know, because, you know, Billy Mills talked about near the end of the game, he had some situations where, he made some bad mistakes as far as, you know, when to foul and certain things like that, and he took the blame for that too. But, you know, not to knock, obviously, Michigan because they played outstanding. We're going to talk about Trey Burke and what's going to happen with him and kind of if he decides to leave, kind of what his position is, you know, in the next level too. But like you said, you know, nothing beats a very well played game and very exciting game too. So it was just one of the situations where, like you said, either team could have won, but like you said, you know, Louisville kind of did their thing, was able to pull it out, and like you said, it was a great expedition game as well too. So and keep it going, Rob. We kind of recap that, and I guess let's talk about some players that are going to be declaring early for the NBA draft. Before we do that, too, I guess I don't know if you want to talk about what's going to happen next year, because it seems like the Kentucky Wildcats, I don't know if you want to talk about coming into the recruiting class, because it's been held that Kentucky is like the best in college basketball history. You got a couple of brothers in Andrew and Aaron Harrison, Julius Randle. You already got those cats already, you know, and James Young. And then it seems like they're just reloading, Rob. And it's just like, what? What's going on with Calipari? You know, I know the state of Kentucky is pretty excited. Not only are they getting the championship with Louisville, then it seems like Kentucky is just kind of reloading with Calipari. And I don't know if you want to kind of comment on that, man. It's going to be interesting to see what's going on next year as far as a lot of key recruiting classes and what's going to happen as far as next year.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, John Calipari, you know, you're not going to find too many guys that's going to out-recruit him on a recruiting trail. And in Kentucky, I mean, their fans are amazing. It's just a great place for a kid to go play college basketball. You bring them in that kind of environment, you get the right coach, they're going to sell that program. And, you know, they're going to be right back in and running the things next year, especially in the SEC, which is not a very strong basketball conference, a good basketball conference, but not extremely strong. You know, Florida won the SEC this year, and they were a veteran ball club, a lot of seniors and juniors. So you expect Kentucky to be right back in the mix. Nerland Knowles, even though he had the massive injury, I expect him to go early in the draft and still be a top five pick in this year's draft, even with the injury. So I can't imagine him coming back. So that would be a little bit of a loss. But with that incoming class and the players that are going to have coming back, there's no doubt in my mind I'm picking them to win the SEC next year. That should be a really strong basketball team. And I think Calipari kind of gets them back, you know, near that top five, top ten area in the country next year.
Good deal. Once again, yeah, definitely give us your thoughts, people out there on America. We're just having fun. We're just talking sports, as we always do every Tuesday. Sometimes on Wednesdays we switch up the days, but we got to keep it going as always. The number to call into the show, 424-243-9519. You can follow us on Twitter. We keep it going, as well as following us on Facebook. Rob, it's been a lot of movement, man. I'm pretty interested to see your thoughts as far as a lot of these guys that have been declaring early for the NBA draft. This is actually turned out to be a very, very interesting draft class, Rob. And I guess I don't know if there's any people that you definitely want to highlight. You know, obviously we're still waiting to hear what's going on with Trey Burke, a lot of these guys too. But right now, looks like there's been a lot of you know, players going. Ben and McLemore is heading out. Victor
Oladipo.
Switch the name. There you go. And a lot of good guys, man. So Alan Crabb, you know, Crabby. This is going to be a pretty interesting draft. So let's kind of kick it off, Rob. And I don't know if anyone want to highlight as far as if you go to NBADraft.net. It's just you know, you got a lot of depth. And we'll see how it plays out as far as for the NBA.
One thing I want to mention, just to kind of correct myself, I was talking about how many national championships Connecticut's women program have under Gino Auriemma now. That's number eight.
Wow.
So I just want to make that known. That's their eight national championships, so congrats to them. Getting back to the players that are leaving earlier, the two guys I want to highlight are the two guys you just mentioned. Ben McLemore is right now the consensus number one player in his draft, so there's no doubt that it was the right decision for him to come out and make this move. Now I just got to hope and pray that my New Orleans Hornets somehow win the lottery again so we can continue to put together a team with Anthony Davis and so somehow we can get Ben McLemore. But enough of me rooting for my own teams. But, yeah, Ben McLemore, he's kind of reminds me of a Ray Allen. He's got the young Ray Allen, of course, not the Ray Allen you're seeing today. But he's got a great jump shot, very good athlete, solid defender. He's got long arms. He's about 6'5", and he's definitely worked his way up to being a premier player in this year's draft. Victor Oladipo, I tell you, this guy is an incredible athlete as well.
Yes.
6'4", 6'5", great defender, very good athlete. You know, some scouts, he's even compared him to a Dwayne Wade. I'm not quite sure he's going to be that kind of player, but I still think he's going to be a very good prospect at the next level, a very good player for many years to come. I kind of see him being a solid 14, 15-point guy in the NBA, not necessarily a 20, 25-point guy. But I look at him being a disruptive defender, great athlete, and a guy that's probably still going to be picked in that 5 to 10 range in this year's draft. I think he's going to help, you know, a ball club, you know, right away as well. So, yeah, those are more so the two guys that I just kind of want to highlight. I'm sure we're going to have more early deflections here coming out here in the next week or two, all the way up to the deadline, which I believe is May 14th. So we'll get a chance to talk about quite a few more guys. But those are the two key guys, along with Russ Smith from Louisville, who we talked about earlier, that's going to be declaring for the draft.
Patrick, let's talk about a few players here that I'm intrigued about, because I had a good conversation with somebody regarding Payton Silva. Do you think Payton Silva is ready to go to the next level, or do you think he has to go overseas? Because he's not that big. He's about 6 foot, but maybe a little shorter than that. Very, very explosive, man. But you wonder if he's going to be able to be projected to go in the NBA. So I don't know if you want to hear your thoughts about him. I don't think he's a pure shooter at this juncture, but do you think he has a shot to make it on the next level, Rob?
Based on what I see with my eyes, I think the kid can play at the next level. I think he can be a solid guy that can come off the bench and help a team, run a second unit. Obviously, I don't see him as a starter in the NBA, but I see this kid being a guy that can come off the bench and run a second unit, solid athlete for his height, and a very heady ball player, very cerebral. And I just think he can really help a ball club out coming off the bench. And maybe not right away. Maybe he might even play in the NBDL for a year or two. And I project him, if he does get drafted, will be somewhere in the late second round. But I think he may wind up even being a free agent. But I still think this is a guy pro scouts are going to be looking at and say, hey, he's probably, if we do take a pick, you know, second round maybe, or let's take our chances with him as hoping that he's available as a free agent. But I think down the line he can be a solid backup NBA point guard.
Somebody said that they reminded him of a Juan Dixon. You know, Juan Dixon kind of was very explosive in college, but kind of struggled in the NBA too. But, you know, like I said, we'll see how that plays out. You know, certain players that seem to do well in college and they have to make that transition to the NBA. So I agree. You know, we'll see how he plays out. I like the headiness of him. You know, he did his thing at Louisville, so you got to give him a lot of credit. Without him, you know, his toughness, I don't think Louisville is as good. But you know, like I said, they're going to be a tough team next year too, Rob. But we'll talk about that as well. Another guy that I want to highlight, and this is interesting too, because somebody, I don't know if this guy is kind of Michigan-ish. He's kind of blinded by the big blue. But very, very intrigued with Trey Burke. He kind of compared him to Chris Paul-like. Do you think that's accurate, or you think that's kind of a little exaggeration there, Rob?
Well, I don't see Trey Burke as a Chris Paul. I do see Trey Burke as somewhere in that 5 to 10 range, kind of similar, not a similar player to Victor Oladipo, but kind of in that same draft range. I think he's a guard that can really score as a point guard as well. I'm not sure he's going to be a great facilitator like a Chris Paul, but I do think, you know, he can possibly be somewhat on a level of a Damian Lillard, who looked like he's going to be the rookie of the year at Portland. Probably could be a little bit on that level. Maybe not the athlete that Lillard is, so maybe not quite as good as Lillard, but somewhere just beneath him. I think Trey Burke can be that kind of player. But not a Chris Paul kind of player. No, Chris Paul, I think, is a guy that just makes everybody on his team better, and he elevates everybody's game. He's a great facilitator, a great leader. I don't see that necessarily in Burke, but I see more of a scoring point guard who may still get you about 5 or 6 assists a game in that level. But I think you'll see Trey Burke get picked somewhere in that 5 to 10 range as well.
Let's talk about another guy that's pretty much under the radar, Rob, and this guy was very highly touted, Shabazz Muhammad from UCLA. One of these guys that he just screams athleticism. This guy looks like he's kind of like the next great thing. And there's certain players, Rob, that that seem to seem like they're okay in college, but maybe the NBA is better for them. Do you think this is the case for Shabazz as well?
I think you might be right. I think you might have hit that right on the nose with Shabazz Muhammad. And I think coming out of high school, he's the number one player in the country. And I think he needs to lose a little weight. I think he needs to lose a little bit of weight, get a little bit more leaner, to get some of his athleticism back. And I know right before the season started, he had an injury, and that kind of set him back a little bit. So I don't think we've seen the Muhammad that we're possibly going to see in the NBA. I'm pretty sure that he's going to declare as well. Now, here's another guy. I know our listeners are probably tired of me saying that 5 to 10 range, but right now I have him in that 5 to 10 range as well. But I think Muhammad, with some great workouts, lose a little weight, I can really see him climb into that top 5 in this draft because I think he's got that kind of potential. The one thing I don't like about Muhammad, I'll say this, he doesn't seem motivated. He doesn't seem like he's got that nastiness, that desire, that fire. And that's something that, that I think that scouts are going to, you know, really question him about. I think he's going to really have to get that nastiness in his game, that fire in his eyes, so, you know, really want to be a winner. And I think that's the one thing that I didn't necessarily see out of him that I think scouts are going to want to question him about. So this is pretty good. We're doing some early analysis on the NBA draft, and so this is a great opportunity to preview. As soon as the NFL draft is over, you know, I'll be posting some NBA mock drafts on our Talking Sports page. So it's a great opportunity for our NBA and college basketball fans as well. But, you know, stay tuned to our Facebook page, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You're going to see some more NFL mock drafts being posted up there. I'm probably going to have at least one or two more prior to the draft. Compiling some info from the pro days right now, preparing that. So definitely stay tuned, and you know, would definitely like to get you all's feedback from it as well. But sorry for that little commercial there, Andre. We can move on with the show now.
Yeah, keep it going, man. We're just going with the flow as we always do, man. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. And I do want to stay on the subject, Rob, because there's a lot of things I do want to talk about before we get to fantasy shout-outs, and we're going to talk about some more NFL stuff as well, too. There's a couple of players I'm curious that I'd like to hear your feedback on. Talking about the OSU Ohio State Buckeyes, they're probably going to lose Deshaun Thomas. I think he's opted to leave. He's one of the top pure scorers in America. He averaged, 19.8, whatever. Man, what do you think about this guy making his moves to the NBA? You think this is a good move for him? And that's going to really affect Ohio State, too, next year.
Well, I tell you what, Thad Matta is one of these guys that I think is one of the most underrated coaches in the business as well. He's going to find some players. This is a team that's going to be very competitive on a year-in-year-out basis. They play tremendous defense. So they're going to be at the top of the Big East. The Big Ten, as long as he's running that program. Right now, I have Deshaun Thomas as an early second round, late first round grade. So I don't see him as being that highly of a top 13 pick. He is a junior. Probably would have liked to see him come back. He's a solid scorer, but I don't know if his game translates that well to the NBA level. And I think his level is, you know, like I said, either late first, early second round grade right now for Deshaun Thomas. So I think that, you know, scouts are still going to have to see a little bit more out of him to really get that grade. But that's kind of where I have him going right now, late first, early second round.
Victor Oladipo, I got it right, for Indiana is going. What do you think about Cody Zeller, man? Do you think his prospects, is he a pretty good NBA player, or is he more or less going to be one of these guys that are just kind of average on the next level?
Well, here's another guy that I'm going to put similar to Shabazz Muhammad. And a couple of things I'm going to say. Shabazz Muhammad, nastiness, toughness, desire. I don't see that in Cody Zeller either. And here we go again. Cody Zeller is another guy having that 5 to 10 range. But also that has the if he really shows great in his workout, can move up into that top 5. So that's why I'm comparing him to Shabazz Muhammad. I think they're, a lot of their attributes are similar. A lot of their weaknesses are similar. But I think their talent is good enough to be in the top five, but they're really just going to show some more in their desire, their effortness, their toughness, to really move up into that that level. My top five right now, just for you, those of you all who want to know, since I haven't really ranked anybody in the top five, Ben McLemore, Nerlens Noel, even with the injury, still have him in the top five, Marcus Smart, point guard from Oklahoma State, and I tell you, a true riser in this draft is Otto Porter from Georgetown. Watch this kid. Great athlete, long arm, a great defender, and another guy a lot of people in America may not be aware of, Anthony Bennett from UNLV. This guy might be the next Grandma Ma coming out of UNLV. 6'7", can play the small forward or power forward position, can handle the ball, he can post you up. And remember that name, Anthony Bennett, UNLV. Those are my current top five players in this year's draft. But we got a lot of time before the NBA draft.
Oh, yeah. I want to make a quick point, too, because you mentioned Marcus Smart. So tell us, I know, unfortunately, Oklahoma State got knocked out early in the tournament because you didn't really get a chance to see him, play. So I guess tell us your thoughts about him. I mean, I've heard some comparisons to James Harden, which would be amazing. He's a point guard. He's about 6'4", 225 pounds. What do you think about him? A quick scouting report before we get ready to do some fantasy shout-outs and get ready to set up for the OT portion.
Well, I think the thing that scouts love about him is the way he facilitates an offense at his size. And so his game is probably a little bit different than Harden. Harden is an explosive two-guard, can really score the ball. Smart can get to the basket as well as being a facilitator. He's got great size. And you don't have too many point guards at his size in the NBA anymore. And so already he's a guy that can come into the league and look over defenders and facilitate an offense with great size and speed. And so he's a guy that just came out of nowhere, similar to Ben McLemore, and just worked their way up into the top five. And obviously if he was on a better team, you maybe could have saw him a little bit more. But this is a guy that I think that elevated Oklahoma State to the level that they were. And you got to give him a lot of credit. And I think he's a surefire top five pick in this draft. And right now, definitely the best point guard in the draft.
Love it, love it, love it. We got about 3 minutes left, Rob. I want to do some fantasy shout-outs we want to set up next week as we get ready for the OT portion. And we'll talk about world peace and some NBA stuff as well, and some NBA stuff too. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it to you for some fantasy shout-outs. And we got a winner for our sports league too. So it's on you, sir.
Well, I got to give congrats to my buddy Chris Johnson up in Dallas. He dogged us out on our tournament bracket page. He blasted us saying he beat the experts. But I got to give him his credit. He beat us. This year he beat us. He didn't win last year, so I'm going to bring that up too. But, he blasted us saying he beat the experts in a bracket, tournament bracket challenge. So congrats to him. Doing a phenomenal job. It looked like he blew us away pretty good, too. And our fantasy basketball league is officially not over just yet. It's going to end on next Wednesday. But Anthony Davis, the new number 23, Rondo is running away with it right here in the New Orleans area. He's whipping us pretty good as well, along with everyone else who's in the league. Next week, the league will be officially over in fantasy basketball as well. So those are our fantasy shout-outs. We still have a lot more we're going to be talking about in our OT portion. This is about to end our live portion, but for those of you all who want to hear some more NFL talk, some more NBA talk, if you have some free time tomorrow on your break, click on the same link and you can listen to our OT portion. Unfortunately, that portion is not live, but we have some more talking sports to get to. Once again, follow us on Twitter. It's at 12 Man Sports. And like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with 12 Man. And once again, join us next Tuesday night, same time, same link, 10 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, that will be 5 p.m. Our friends in Germany, that's Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Anything closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
No, I appreciate you always setting the stage, too. As Robert mentioned, we are here for you guys. Definitely, we appreciate talking sports, and that's what we do. So definitely listen to us, follow us. We do a great job as far as updating stuff, so looking forward to some mock drafts for the NFL as well as the NBA, and we just keep it going, too. So that's what it's all about. We got about 30 seconds, Rob. Anything else you want to say as we get set up for the OT portion of the of Talking Sports?
Once again, people, we appreciate tuning in to us. We don't take you all lightly. Continue to support us. We promise we're going to the mountaintop. We want y'all to come with us. And so definitely stay tuned in and join us next week. Catch the OT portion. Once again, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You'll get constant updates of what's happening in the sports world. We even do some fun things with it as well. Get your thoughts on who's going to win certain games. We'd like for you to kind of play along with us. So make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and join us next Tuesday night. Good night, world.
We are moving on to the OT portion of the show. Thanks, Rob, for setting the stage. And let's talk about some NBA stuff, Rob. And you got Meta World Peace returning for the Lakers tonight. You know, right on time as they're trying to make this last run for the last playoff spot, Rob. We will talk about Mr. World Peace.
Well, yeah, an incredible comeback. I mean, this kid was, well, I shouldn't say kid, but, you know, he's supposed to be out 6 weeks, and he's only been out 10 days, and he's already back from an injury. So as we're doing the show right now, I actually have the Lakers and Hornets game on right now as we speak. The Lakers got a couple-point lead on the Hornets right now. Matter of fact, it's a tie game, I'm sorry, at 43. The Utah Jazz did lose tonight. So right now the Lakers have moved back into the eighth spot. But if the Lakers lose tonight, then Utah will move back in the eighth spot. So they're kind of battling for that last playoff spot in the Western Conference. And Meta World Peace is back earlier than expected and trying to help them. I haven't seen him in the game yet, but he's you know, trying to help them, of course, get that last spot in the Western Conference playoffs.
Is Meta World Peace the Wolverine? We don't know. He's just healing fast. We'll see how it plays out, man. So we'll keep it going. Now, Rob, right on top of the New York Knicks, they actually have earned their first division title since 1994. Man, they got 36 points from Carmelo Anthony. They just beat up on the Washington Wizards. And this is a surprising stat too, Rob, that Carmelo has the number one selling jersey in the NBA right now over LeBron James. How surprising is that?
That was very surprising when I read that. But, you know, I guess you have to look at it from this standpoint as well. New York still is the largest media market, largest market, period, in America. And Carmelo just so happened to be playing in the market. So, obviously, you put a great player in New York City. They have a little bit of an advantage. And I tell you, Carmelo's been on a tear lately, too. So, the guy's having a phenomenal year. And, I mean, I'm not going to say he's worthy of an MVP this year. And as great as a year LeBron is having, I think my vote would go to Kevin Durant for MVP this year. That's just my opinion. But I think LeBron's going to wind up getting his fourth in a row. And but Carmelo, I tell you, should be right in the mix somewhere in the top five in MVP voting this year. He and Chris Paul probably somewhere around three or four in that conversation. And, you know, Tony Parker, prior to his injury, should have been even mentioned in that conversation as well. But,
gotcha.
But definitely kudos to Carmelo having a phenomenal year.
Yep. Like you said, you know, obviously, you know, you talk about the Knicks. That's a great point as far as being that media market. You know, as far as team sales, you got Miami, you got the Lakers, obviously. Durant was pretty surprisingly up there as far as jersey sales. You know, and you got Kobe Bryant and Derrick Rose, surprisingly, too. But, you know, I guess the question is, you're looking at Carmelo. He kind of reminds me back whenever he was a freshman at Syracuse doing this thing and kind of carrying that team on his back. Can he carry the Knicks past the Heat, Rob, or what do you think about this opportunity? I mean, they're playing pretty well. I mean, the Knicks it's kind of good to see them doing, playing so well.
Well, I tell you this. I know I've made mention on previous shows that I thought Indiana was a team that can give the Heat the most trouble. I didn't necessarily say Indiana would beat the Heat, but I thought they would be the team that can give the most trouble. And right now I have to change my tune on that. I think the Knicks are the team. I don't think they'll beat the Heat, but I think they're the team that can give them the most trouble. And Indiana's starting to get hurt with injuries right now. The Knicks are playing some really good basketball right now. They're shooting the ball tremendously well. And they have a decent amount of size in the paint that can give Miami a little trouble. And so if they can keep playing like that, I think you can see a Miami-Knicks Eastern Conference final. And it should be a pretty good series. But I think the Heat will still come out slightly ahead of them in that series, maybe in five or six, about six games, I'm going to say.
Gotcha. Man, so we'll see how that plays out, as always, Rob. So I guess if there's anything else that you want to discuss before we make some moves, kind of switch gears and talk about the NFL draft and recent signings and stuff like that?
Well, I tell you what, for you all, stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have an idea of what the playoff seeding is going to be by next week's show, and maybe we can do an NBA preview for playoffs here next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll have an idea what the seeding is going to be with the playoffs starting on next Saturday by next week's show. But, yeah, moving forward to a little bit of NFL, you know, some minor things. Free agency is kind of slowing down right now, and NFL teams are really concentrating on a draft right now. You see the Detroit Lions making a move at the kicker position, getting a David Akers, not a Jason Hansen, has retired. And so that's interesting move for them, going with another veteran kicker. And you look at the even the Saints yesterday signing Jim Lionheart, a safety from the Broncos. Kind of surprised me a little bit. Didn't see that one coming there. That should be interesting to see how it shakes out with he and Roman Harper and Malcolm Jenkins at the safety position. And it's a little slow moving right now as far as the NFL free agency is concerned. But there are still things that are happening. You know, of course, last week we covered the Matt Flynn and Carson Palmer. That was a big deal. And, of course, with your Falcons getting O.C. Umanura and that idea. And speaking of the Falcons, do you think there's still a chance that John Abraham comes back?
Yeah, actually, I've been following our tweets and stuff like that. And, yeah, Thomas Dimitroff definitely has not ruled it out. So, you know, obviously for the money that he was paying, he's getting a little older. So, I think you can't pay him as much. But I'm in favor of that. This is a guy that he didn't really burn any bridges. And, unfortunately, he kind of got nicked up in the championship game before final game before we got knocked out. But, I would love to have him because, you look at him, he brought 10 sacks last year. And obviously if you look at OC, OC kind of had a down year too. So I'd rather have both those guys rushing the passer just to kind of help out too, because I think he's still got a little bit more in the tank. The only challenge as Falcons fans that you look at is that you're kind of paying not an every down player anymore. I don't think he's going to get as many snaps, so you have to make a decision. Do you think it's worth it? Because we're going to get younger on defense. You're definitely going to be targeting a defensive end. But, Rob, it's such a hard thing to draft a defensive end that you know that can rush the passer. You got to hope that you can get an Alden Smith or just somebody that has that type of skill set. And another guy, not to say I don't want to stop talking Falcons, but how come you don't think Dwight Freeney has been signed yet, Rob? Any word about him, you think, or what's going on as far as NFL teams and Dwight Freeney?
Well, obviously he's 33 years old. I think age is probably the main factor there. And, last year I think, hurt his value a little bit with Chuck Pagano coming in and kind of changing their team to 3-4. And they haven't seen Freeney in a 4-3 defense in a couple of years now. They wonder if they still have it. I think it's just a matter of time before you see somebody that scoops him up here. I think what happens here, around this time of the year, the free agent signings just slow down. And then teams start looking at what they did achieve in a draft and what they did not achieve in a draft. And so I think right now you're going to see, now week after the draft, you're going to see a lot of these guys get signed. Because some teams are going to be like, well, we weren't able to address certain positions in this draft, so let's go back, see what's available in a free agent market. So there are going to be some teams that maybe is looking for some situational pass rushers like a Dwight Freeney, John Abrahams, that wasn't able to achieve that in a draft. So they're going to go back and look at the free agent market and see what's available. And so you're going to see that a lot. That week or two after the draft, you're going to see a lot of these veteran free agents get signed by teams that weren't able to make certain achievements in the draft at positions of need.
Very good point, Rob, because I'm thinking of that. I think about, players like a Brian Urlacher, obviously he's
been
the heart and soul of Chicago defense, and you kind of figure out hopefully what's going on with him. Will he go the route and kind of go across with a hated rival with Minnesota, or you never know, man. So it's kind of interesting to see what plays out with that too, because I still think he has a little bit left definitely in the tank. And Charles Woodson, there's a lot of good players out there, Rob. So, you know, it is kind of slowing down. Maybe teams will kind of circle back around it and make some moves. I know the salary cap makes a lot of decisions as far as what's going to happen, but it's been interesting to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing was happening is some of these veteran players are looking for certain dollars, and these teams are not just willing to pay their asking price right now. So I think, you know, some of these players' asking prices are going to come down the longer they're on the market, and that's when some of these guys are going to get signed too.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to make a real quick comment about for certain quarterbacks, Rob, or certain players that you just keep wondering why they're able to keep surviving in the league, Rob. And it just seems like, you know, it looks like Seattle, it's not official, but Seattle may be targeting Brady Quinn as a backup to Russell Wilson. I don't know how this guy is still in the league, man. I don't think, obviously felt sorry for him for the trap, but I don't know how this guy is still surviving in the league, Rob. It's kind of like Rex Grossman. There's certain quarterbacks here like, what, really? How are you still in the league, man? But that's what you're hearing world on the street as far as the Seattle, looking at Brady Quinn as a backup. I don't know if you want to comment on that or just anything else you want to say as we get ready to talk about the NFL draft preview. We've got 5 minutes left in the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, I tell you what, obviously he's not a guy you want to be your starting quarterback. But in a backup role, I mean, he had, you know, some decent moments with the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is kind of goes back to what I said during last week's show. Yep. If Jamarcus Russell can get his fat butt in shape, there's no doubt about it that this guy is better than a Brady Quinn. And, you know, so you got a guy like that just kind of stays in the league. And it's kind of frustrating to see a guy like with Jamarcus Russell with all that talent and that could still be in the league, you know, contributing to an organization. And, you know, but, you know, I don't – who else can Seattle get that's better than Brady Quinn? So, I mean, it's not like they have a lot of better options available to him. And so I think he still deserves to be in the league as a backup, just not a guy you want as your starter.
Gotcha. I'm going to dedicate the last part of the show to you, Rob. We've got 3 minutes left. We can talk about the NFL draft preview. I know you've been very diligent in all your mock drafts, so I'm turning the show over to you in this last part, sir.
Well, you know, still trying to put together my last couple of mock drafts here, just kind of going over some notes and things of that nature. And I think the thing I want to address here first regarding the NFL draft is I think Jacksonville – is the big unknown right now in this draft. I'm pretty sure that Kansas City is going to go Luke Joku. I mean, I'm about 90% confident on that. Jacksonville is the wild card here. They can throw this draft off in a lot of different ways. Right now I currently have them taking Deion Jordan. I can see them going the Deion Jordan route. I can see them even going Geno Smith route at number two. I can see them going Eric Fisher, offensive tackle from Central Michigan at number two. I can see so many different things right now with Jacksonville at that number two position. And so they're the kind of the big unknown in this draft. And that's the big they right now are the big wild card is what's going to happen with the Jacksonville Jaguars at the number two position. That's going to be real interesting to see what they do. I can even see them going Ziggy Ansah at number two as well. Based on some sources that I have, they're pretty high on him. And I think they're the wild card with this draft. And so it's going to be real intriguing to see which route they take at the number two position. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think you're 100% accurate with that statement, Rob, because they just need so many different pieces, but you just don't know what's going on. This is the first time you really don't know where they're going. I mean, they could, like you said, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if they picked up Geno Smith. It wouldn't be surprising if they decided to, you know, grab an offensive tackle. It's a situation where we really don't know what they're looking at, which is probably a good position to be. I know we got a minute to go, Rob. I just want to say real quick, Everyone's saying this is not, there's not a lot of elite prospects in this draft, but it's a very deep draft as far as depth. So I don't know if you want to address that. And then as we get ready, I know it's going to kick us off in a minute, so I'll let you finish it up and also we set up the show for next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. 1 through 10, this might not be the best year to be picking 1 through 10, because there'll be some guys picked in 1 through 10 that doesn't have a grade of a 1 through 10. But once you start getting 11 on deeper, this draft is pretty deep. It's not strong at the top, but it's definitely a deep draft. And so, if any year, and I've said this all along, people talking about trading down to the top 10. Nobody wants to trade up into the top 10 this year because there's nobody really worthy of picking,